Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is about two people who came to Jesus for help, each with some kind of medical problem. There's really nothing surprising about that. We are all dependent on doctors for help with our medical problems. Maybe that's why it's so much fun to tell jokes at the expense of the medical profession. Says one comedian, "My doctor told me that he'd have me on my feet within 2 weeks. He was right. I had to sell my car to pay his bill." I'm just kidding for any of you who know people in the medical profession. The first person in our lesson today to come to Jesus for his medical help, is a man named Jairus. Now, Jairus was a leader in the local synagogue. This would have made him a much respected in the community. His 12-year-old daughter had fallen ill and is at the point of death. This story, when it's told in Luke's gospel, says that she is his only daughter and that he is quite desperate. Our gospel reading from the book of Mark tells us that when Jairus sees Jesus, he falls down at his feet and pleads with him earnestly. "Please, please come help me. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." This, of course, must have been a remarkable scene. A distinguished synagogue scholar, a leader in the community, falling at the feet of an itinerant rabbi, begging him for help. Anyone who has ever had a child who was seriously ill can certainly understand. You'll go anywhere, spend any amount of money, spend energy, even give up your prestige to make certain that your child is healed. Jairus' confidence in Jesus is also quite remarkable. As far as we know, they'd had no other contact prior to this episode. How often, I wonder, do some of us lose confidence in Jesus when our back is against the wall? We forget about our previous associations and encounters with him. For all that he has done for us, we seem not to remember any of that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 reminds us, however, that Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. We just have to come to him, like Jairus, humble and believing. At this point in our story, while Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, there is a significant detour. A second person in need of medical help is introduced to our narrative. She's a poor woman. She's been bleeding for 12 years. All that Mark tells us about this woman is that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and that she'd spent all the money she had trying to get well. But instead of getting well, she grew worse. That happens even today, doesn't it? Modern medicine is wonderful, but not every problem is properly diagnosed. Not every disease can yet be healed. This woman's condition would have been uncomfortable, even debilitating, under the best of circumstances. But in her community, her condition also made her ritually unclean, therefore a social outcast. She would have been ostracized by everyone in the community, by everyone except Jesus. That's both unsettling and encouraging, I think. It's unsettling that the community would reject her because of a medical condition. But it is encouraging to know that Jesus never would reject her. You may consider yourself, because of something you've done, unclean or sinful, unfit for social settings, or even unfit to come to church. But Jesus doesn't see you that way. By his grace, Jesus sees you as the beautiful and pure child of God that you are. This woman with this distressful condition presses through the crowd until she's able to touch the hem of his robe. "If I just touch his clothes," she says, "I will be healed." That's magnificent faith, my friends. Mark tells us that immediately after touching his cloak, the woman is well. The bleeding stops, and she feels in her body that she is freed from her suffering. At this point, something else happens that's interesting. Jesus realizes the power that's gone out from him, and he turns around as the crowd presses in on him and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples responded, "You see all these people here? How are we supposed to know?" But Jesus keeps looking. And the woman comes up to him, and she tells him exactly what was her motivation and what is the result. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, please notice Jesus' response to this situation. Society calls this woman unclean, unworthy, unfit. But Jesus calls her daughter. "Daughter, your faith has healed you." The woman is obviously thrilled. She's been healed. Can you imagine, though, how Jairus feels while all of this is going on? He came to Jesus in a panic. He fell at his knees. He begged Jesus for help. They were on the way, and then detour. He must have been sympathetic to this woman. But we can imagine, I think, the fear, the stress, the anxiety building up. He must be fearful that he will be too late returning to his daughter with Jesus. And then Mark tells us that Jairus' fears are confirmed. Some people come from the house. "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" I think, too, that's a pretty normal reaction. You're hoping against hope for a miracle, and your friend who's trying to help you through your situation says, "You got to accept it. There's no hope. The situation is futile. Don't bother Jesus anymore." My friends, it's never too late for God to come through, and you're never, ever a bother. Keep trusting. Keep calling upon Jesus. Delay is not denial. Overhearing what these people are saying to Jairus, Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." It's not easy, but we suspect that Jairus was reassured by Jesus' words. When Jesus gets to Jairus' house, the elaborate ritual of Jewish mourning has already begun. People are crying and wailing. And Jesus says to them, "Why all this commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep." The scripture then says they laugh at him. After Jesus puts them all out of the house, he takes the child's father and mother and the three disciples, and he goes into the child's room. There he takes the child's hand, and he says to her, "Little girl, get up." And she does. Immediately, the girl stands up and begins to walk around. And at this, the parents and the three disciples, the only witnesses, are completely astonished. A literal translation of the Greek says it even better. They were out of their minds with great amazement. Has God ever done anything in your life that simply blew you away? Many of us have experienced such things. People healed, lives changed, prodigals restored. Two powerful stories about two very different kinds of people. One, a leader of the synagogue in the community, who was probably quite well off, well respected, well educated, well dressed, used to getting what he wants. He was there out of love for his daughter. The other, a woman. No money, a social outcast, probably not well educated, probably shabbily dressed. She doesn't even want to try to address Jesus personally at first, but just content to touch the hem of his garment. Could any two people be any more different? Yet, two things unite them in this story. First of all, they're united by their need, and secondly, they are united by their faith. They came believing, Their attitude was humility and reverence. What is it that we can take away from this story? Well, first, we need to see that God does not care about social status. It makes no difference whether you're a top dog or an underdog. You're important to Jesus. Whatever it is that you're dealing with or going through in life, sickness, loneliness, depression, grief, conflict, let Jesus handle it. Come to him in humility and with faith. Tell him your trouble. Like Jairus, your faith might be tested because it seems like somehow it's been delayed. But as I said earlier, delay is not denial. Delay is not rejection. All of us are important to Jesus. Here's the second thing. We need to understand that in every contest in life, faith makes a difference. Whether it's kneeling beside the bedside of a child with a serious illness, or whether it's facing a serious illness on your own, whether it's a problem in your workplace, or rejection by someone you care deeply about, whatever you may face in life, faith makes a difference. Physical healing may not come. The answer you've been hoping for and praying for may not come, but your faith will help you deal with the answer, whatever it may be. Faith will determine your success in the workplace and even in your relationships. There may be disappointments and setbacks in any important endeavor, but you will not be defeated until you let go of your faith. As long as there is God, there is hope. Let me say it one more time. Life may be hard. You are not defeated until you give up. Gudrun Haas, who we all know well and love, who's struggling now with a bit of illness in her own home, has said to each and every one of us, I'm sure many a time, never give up. God cares nothing about social status. If you have a need, Jesus cares. And in any important endeavor in life, faith makes a difference. As long as there is God, there is hope. Amen.